half a day, and welcome to today's edition of Hearts of Harvest.
You see, God thinks differently than we think, so we need to think more God-like.
That was Pastor Joe Henson, an associate pastor of Harvest Baptist Church and our speaker for Heart of Harvest, a daily program brought to you by Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. Our prayer is that as you listen to these lessons, you will understand the heart of harvest and that these messages from the Word of God will help you to develop a heart for God. As we continue our study of the book of James, Pastor Joe will highlight the fourth mark of a difference maker, impartial love, in a message called Taming the Sin of Partiality.
Let me invite you to open up your Bibles with me, if you would, please, to James chapter 2. James chapter 2. As we open our Bibles, we realize that in the first century AD, there were some conditions that were not really good. We find that people then were either rich or poor. They were either slaves or they were free. They were Jews or they were Gentiles. They were Greeks or they were barbarians. But there were a lot of differences in people back then. Jesus Christ came and brought the good news of salvation. And the good news of salvation, part of what it did was to break down the barriers between all of these groups of people. But you know, it took a while for that truth to sink in to the church of Jesus Christ, into the hearts of believers. We need to take a few minutes and let's see what God has to say to us here in James chapter 2, verses 1 to 13. What does He want us to know? But you might be thinking, but isn't everybody partial? And what's wrong with it? What's the big deal? Why not be partial? Let's see what the Scripture has to say. There are many reasons here we want to see why we should not be partial towards people. First, it is a sin that is contrary to Christ and Christianity. Notice here in verse 1, he says this, "My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons." In our Harvest Study Bible, it says it this way, "My dear brothers and sisters, you are believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ. So don't treat some people better than others." Did you ever stop to think how any of us got saved? Isn't that a remarkable thing that God would stoop down and save any of us? But folks, when we think about our salvation, do you realize that when God saves, He does it impartially? What's the point? Just simply this. Isn't it amazing that we who are saved impartially by God, God has saved us impartially. But isn't it sad how even though God has saved us impartially, some of us want to be partial towards other people? He says that's wrong. Let me give you a second reason here. In fact, it's found in verses 2 through 4. And that's simply this. It is judging a person by the wrong standards. When I show partiality, it's judging a person by the wrong standards. Look at your Bibles here. Verse 2, "For if there come into your assembly a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, and there come also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect unto him that weareth the gay clothing, and saith, Sit thou here in this good place, and say to the poor, Stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool. Are ye not then partial in yourself, and are become judges of evil thoughts?" You see, James understood it's possible that people might come to church and might look down on a person if they're poor, or might treat a rich person differently than they would treat a poor person. He understood that that was a possibility there. Now, the problem here is this. It's the exact opposite of the way God sizes us up. When we place physical values over spiritual worth, we always come up with the wrong answer. Let me remind you of what Paul reminded the Galatians. He said this in chapter 3, verse 28. "There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus." To the Colossians, he said it this way, "Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all and in all." Folks, Christ has saved us. The result of this kind of narrow-minded partiality is division of the body. Folks, do you understand that partiality happens when we operate with the wrong standard of judgment? When we start looking at people's outsides instead of the heart, we don't know what's going on, do we? Now, Jesus said it this way, "Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment." When we are showing partiality, we are elevating ourselves above the law. and we elevate ourselves above the lawgiver. Back in James, look at chapter 4 with me. James chapter 4, look at verse 11, where he says this, "Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? What right do you have to judge another person?" The answer comes back, we have no right to show partiality, to judge our brothers. Well, there's another reason that we should not show partiality, and that is found in verse 4 here in James chapter 2. And that is simply this, it is a revealer of wicked thinking. When we show partiality towards someone, we are thinking wickedly. We are thinking evilly. Look at verse 4 again. "Are you not then partial in yourselves and become judges of evil thoughts?" It's interesting, that can be translated judges with evil thoughts. Matthew chapter 15, verse 19, Jesus said this, "For out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts." Murders, adulteries, fornication, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. Where does it come from? It comes from the heart. And you see, when we are partial towards people, it's just another sin that points back to a heart that's got problems with God, an improper thinking process going on in our life. We're not thinking right. We've got sin in our life. Our partiality shows that in our hearts we have attitudes of divisions and superiority. Paul would say this, "Now, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye shall all speak the same thing." Don't be divided, be unified, he said. "That there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." God wants us to be like he is. We've already read several times, he is not partial. He is no respecter of persons. He would like us to be like he is. You know what 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 15 to 17 says? "But as he which hath called you to be holy is holy," what? "Be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judges according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear." He says, you be like I am. There's no respect of persons with me. You be that way yourself. You be like that too. Don't show respect of persons. Don't show partiality. Here's the fourth reason we don't want to show partiality. It's simply this. It's contradicting God's character and God's judgments. It contradicts God's character and God's judgments. Look at verse 5 here in James chapter 2 with me. It says this, "Hearken, my beloved brethren, listen to this," he's saying. Hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom of God, which he hath promised to them that love him?" When you look at the world as a whole, who do you see getting saved more? He's asking the church. And in their time period, as they would look around, they would see more poor people saved than more rich people, it seemed. There was a difference here. He says, "Hasn't God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, heirs of the kingdom, to be the heirs of the kingdom?" Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 17, if you're taking notes, you might want to jot the reference down. It says, "For the Lord your God is a God of gods. He is Lord of lords, a great God, a mighty and terrible, which regardeth not persons, neither taketh reward." Look with me at 1 Corinthians again. Keep your finger here. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Look at verse 26. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26. You see, God thinks differently than we think. So we need to think more godlike, unless people like. Notice what he says here. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Excuse me, chapter 1, verse 26. "For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world. The things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence." The way people think is anything big and impressive and expensive must be godly. But yet God's idea was different, wasn't it? That's not what he's chosen to get the message of Jesus Christ across. We have to understand that he looks differently on us. He is impartial and just when he judges. He's impartial in his love for mankind. We looked at John 3:16 a moment ago. For whosoever believes shall be saved. Romans chapter 5, verse 8, God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, who did Christ die for? All of us. He died for us. Then in making salvation available to sinners, he made it to all sinners. Jot down in your notes there, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Also jot down with me, if you would, 2 Peter chapter 3, look at verse 9. 2 Peter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Folks, do you understand? God loves you. He is impartial in that love towards you. God is impartial in his judgments. Romans chapter 2 teaches us that. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, we read this. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. You see, God's judgments look at man's heart and his conduct. He looks on the inside, not necessarily on the outside. Luke chapter 6, verse 20. Blessed be ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Matthew chapter 5, verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Do you remember the poor lady? Mark chapter 12. Jesus said that he took his disciples to the temple and they watched the rich people put all their money in. And yet there was one poor lady there that put in two mites. And Jesus said she's put in more than all the others. And his disciples thought, how can this be? And Jesus said she's put in everything she had. Her whole living has gone into the offering. Jesus looks totally different, folks, on people than the way we look on people, because God's wisdom is impartial. James chapter 3, we read that very clearly. James said, who's a wise man endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom is from above. It's first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, and without hypocrisy. That's God's wisdom. God's wisdom and our wisdom are two different things, and we need his wisdom.
Thank you for listening to today's message with Pastor Joe Henson, our special guest on today's edition of Heart of Harvest. This daily program is brought to you by Harvest Ministries, located on the island of Guam. If you'd like more information or a copy of today's message, you can always write to Heart of Harvest, P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's Heart of Harvest, P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921, or call area code 671-477-6341. That number once again, 671-477-6341. You can always visit our website at hbcguam.net, where you'll find a podcast of today's program. That's hbcguam.net. Thank you for listening, and be sure to join us at this same time on Monday for the next edition of Heart of Harvest.